from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there, and welcome to the rewrap for Thursday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning Sky TV takes on ISPs. The top Instagrams of the year, Bitcoin still on the up and up, and the latest study of coffee studies. But before any of that, all these allegations.
It's getting worryingly serious. You've got three groups, as far as I can work out, when it comes to Matt Lauer's, the latest one today. You've got the Weinstein Group, allegations potentially of illegal behaviour, as serious as things like rape. This is being investigated by the police in a couple of countries, America and Britain. So you've got the very serious end of the group. You've got your second series of allegations, which involve people making allegations and the person involved then says sorry, thus, I suppose, indicating some level of guilt. They pay the price for that. But then you've got this third group, and this third group is increasing in size. And the third group are the allegations, normally anonymous, from people who say he did this and we don't know what it was and we don't know who the person making the allegation is. And more importantly, the person says not true, simply not true, didn't happen. And yet they're being ostracized, if not sacked, because of it. And that, I would have thought, should be concerning us all. Jeffrey Rush is the latest one this morning. He's been there's a claim of inappropriate behavior over months on the set of King Lear, the theatre production in Sydney. We don't know what the inappropriate behaviour is. We don't know who the person is. They want to remain anonymous. He has not been approached by anybody other than the media. There has been nobody come to him. Lawyers, the complainant, the theatre company, nobody has come to him. He just finds out through the media that suddenly he's as bad as the rest of them, and he's got to pay the price for that. And there is something fundamentally wrong with all of that. It's getting out of control.
Yeah, it's. I mean, obviously people have done bad things, but in saying that, it's starting to look like one of those montages of news items that you see at the beginning of dystopian sci-fi movies, where everything all comes to a head. Because it's just been like the massive, I don't know, it's really quite the phenomenon, isn't it? It's a bit like people stealing stuff on the internet.
And the internet providers are saying, you've got to be kidding me, this is not North Korea, this is New Zealand. It is not their job, they argue, to police the internet. All sites, they argue, should be equal and open. And this, in a nutshell, is Sky's dilemma. Who controls the internet? And the answer appears to be no one. And because it's no one, what Sky are looking to do, legally speaking, in this part of the world anyway, is to say, well, there should be somebody, and we've decided it should be the internet providers, which is an interesting argument to make, but one that I strongly suspect is going nowhere. Because part of the problem with the internet, of course, is it's not New Zealand. You've got to get agreement with every single country in the world, because it depends on where the thing comes from. So if you're trying to say, close down Bob, and Bob's in Uzbekistan, is it, I don't know, pick a provider, Orcon, is it Orcon's job to close down Bob in Uzbekistan, or is it Uzbekistan's job to do it? And if you're relying on Uzbekistan, you're never going to do it, because they're going to set up these operations in shonky parts of the world that you're never going to be able to control. Hence the argument, and this is sort of where Kim.com comes in, hence the argument the net cannot be controlled. And yet the argument, nevertheless, is an interesting one for Sky, because they're a business losing money because of all of this. And there's the overarching argument, which is everything in life in some way, shape, or form is controlled. We want rules and regulations around everything. Joining a library, owning a gun, voting for a government, getting married. So we want to control our lives with rules and regulations. Might not like them all, but that's how we operate. And yet the internet, for some reason, is allowed to be just free and open. And not only is it allowed to be free and open, it is actively argued that it should be free and open.
Yeah, well, so the tricky thing, isn't it, is one of those W's in the WWW, the World Wide Web.
Yeah.
Because it's a portal to the whole world.
Correct.
What is, you know, considered to be illegal in some places is legal in other places.
And that's where you'd have
There's
to get an agreement.
There's a lot of grey. Exactly. I mean, it's mostly grey, isn't it?
It's very grey.
The areas on the internet.
And that's why Brexit's not working, because you've got to get 27, 28 countries agreeing. Imagine if you had to get every jurisdiction in the world to agree on something like the internet. You'll never do it, and that's Sky's major problem.
Yeah, Sky just seemed to show a basic lack of understanding of how the internet works, how people consume it, what they want from it. That's why they're dying. I wonder if they're interested in the top Instagrams of the year.
Trending now on the Mike Hosking Breakfast.
So even though it's not even December, they produced the top 10 Instagram posts of the year, and it's fake news, as it turns out. And I know it's fake news because Katie's Kangenwater has not made the list, and nothing went off more on Instagram than Katie's Kangenwater. So the list, as they claim it, top 10. Beyonce's pregnancy announcement. That was the one with the veil and all the flowers. Very beautiful photo on the hills above Malibu. Number two, Cristiano Ronaldo announcing the birth of a couple of babies. Number three, Selena Gomez. She decided to have a kidney transplant. So that she, in fact, ended up with five of the top 10.
So what, five kidneys?
No, just a singular kidney, but five entries in the top 10. One, Beyonce pregnant. Two, Cristiano announcing the birth. Three.
Whose babies was Cristiano Ronaldo? Oh,
I don't think that was part of the Insta. It was just he had some babies and here they were. Okay. Three, Selena Gomez's kidney transplant. Four, Beyonce with the twins. Five, Ronaldo holding his twins. Selena and The Weeknd in an embrace. That's all they were doing. They're just hugging. And that's number six in the world. Selena and The Weeknd at a Met Gala. Ronaldo and his twins, Gomez on the Vogue cover, Selena and her birthday cake, thus proving, I would have thought, it's a fairly small and shallow old world on
just
social
to clarify,
media.
People, it wasn't Selena on her cake.
It could have been Selena was on her cake with a baby. That's number one all day long. I mean, basically, you've got three people either having kids or hugging or going out, and that fascinates the whole planet. It's pathetic.
What was your biggest success on the gram this year?
Could have been my reaction the other day when Scott McLaughlin overtook Lowndes. I was off the sofa and screaming. That was filmed apparently and put out there. I didn't realise it was being filmed at the time. Katie put it out there and the reaction was stark.
Yeah, speaking of stark, some of my most successful Instagrams of the year have been me playing the guitar on my couch wearing some sort of beige shorts which people thought were no pants at all. I've received quite a lot of attention about that, mostly from members of my family who are embarrassed to know me. So it hasn't worked out quite as well as I'd hoped. I wish I'd invested in Bitcoin while we're in the cyber world.
All you need to know, the biz on the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ on News Talk ZB.
Actually, the cruise ship people in Blenheim Picton are in for a great treat. Had a lovely story on 7 Sharp from Michael Holland last night. They're meeting with a beautiful steam engine. Once you get off the cruise ship in Picton, you're on the steam engine and going through the Marlborough countryside. It's going to be fabulous. Bitcoin rolls on, smashed through $10,000, and then less than 12 hours later, smashed through $11,000. You can see where this is going, can't you? It's gone up in value 1,000% since the start of the year, and as much as 15% on Wednesday alone. How'd your Bitcoin do, though? Oh, it was Wednesday. Went up 15%, despite warnings of a bubble. Really? The world's largest Bitcoin wallet provider, San Francisco-based Coinbase, has signed up 300,000 new users over Thanksgiving weekend. So what they did...
What is a wallet provider? Tell me.
It's a Bitcoin wallet provider. It's a wallet. So when you buy your Bitcoin, you get a Bitcoin...
Go on.
You get a Bitcoin wallet. You get a Bitcoin wallet.
No, more details.
And you take your Bitcoin and put it in your wallet. None of it exists.
Oh.
None of it's real. It's just in your imagination. You've got a money, you've got the money, and you've got your wallet, and you could put it in your an imaginary drawer by your imaginary bedside, and you could keep it for a safe and rainy day.
Thank you for your expert analysis of the situation.
That is the whole thing behind Bitcoin, and inevitably you know what's going to happen. Who was I listening to yesterday? Was it Tony Alexander on Leighton Show? He said there's 1,000 cryptocurrencies out there. 1,000. 1,000, of which Bitcoin is the most famous.
Yeah, I heard him saying that it was very high risk and he wouldn't have anything to do with it as well.
Yeah, it's funny that, isn't it? And he's what's he? Oh, he's an economist with a bank.
Tricky, isn't it? Because, I mean, there are lots of people who probably advise people to never, ever go anywhere near Apple and never invest in Apple as well. And that seems to have gone all right for the people who did. Maybe we'll just need to sit down and have a coffee.
No, I've been reading a lot about coffee. It would appear, I would argue, that from all that I've read on coffee, and I've read a lot on coffee now, and I've read a lot on alcohol, and I've read a lot on butter, and I've read a lot on sugar, and by and large, coffee is not what it once was claimed to be, and that was sort of the point we just had the discussion about. Once upon a time, coffee was seen as problematic. Wasn't necessarily going to kill you, but too much of it was, and it had a lot of issues around it. But they've concluded, and this is probably the most comprehensive study so far, because basically they've studied all the studies, and there have been a lot of them, 201 published studies, and they've decided basically you can cut the risk of liver cancer by 34%. This is up to 4 cups a day. You can cut the risk of bowel cancer by up to 17%. 36% lower chance of developing Parkinson's, 27% lower chance of developing Alzheimer's, up to 4 cups of coffee a day. In fact, so the whole thing's gone from being problematic to actually being good for you. Cut the risk of heart disease by 15%, chance of an early death by any means by 17%. Reduces the chances of certain cancers, diabetes, liver disease and dementia.
Bosco's Fuddy Duddy Study Buddies.
It's virtually a miracle elixir, if you read this.
And we've obviously published many, many studies extolling the virtues of moderate alcohol consumption.
Oh, I can't even get
you. So imagine if you had a shot of bourbon in your coffee as well every time. You're basically living forever.
You're primed for life.
Yeah, I mean, if it's up to 4 cups of coffee, I'm presuming the same applies to the amount of alcohol that you're supposed to have, up to 4 triple shots of alcohol or something. Let's not get too bogged down in the numbers. I am Glenn ZB. That was the rewrap for Thursday. We'll be back with more presents for you tomorrow. If you'd like to send me something, I think I've made it pretty clear what my spirit of choice is. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for more.